This is Retro Sports Radio. Visit RetroSeasons.com for more sports history.
Sports fans, here's the sports show of sports stars. Here, Yankee shortstop Phil Rizzuto, Cleveland slugger Victor Wirtz, Tiger manager Bucky Harris, and Giant Whitey Lockman on The Inside Track. This is Fred Hassler presenting a parade of sports personalities with the answers to leading sports questions. Today, Phil Rizzuto analyzes what was wrong with Phil Rizzuto. Vic Wirtz of the Indians and Whitey Lockman of the Giants look at the pennant fight, while Detroit skipper Bucky Harris is optimistic about the Tigers. Hilton Spanninger joins us at the organ for the Inside Track to Sports. When things go wrong with a good ball player, the public is first to know, both at the ballpark and by press, radio, and television commentary. A star ball player is in the limelight, but the high standards of play he has set for himself on performance makes it tough when he slips. To Phil Rizzuto, it's not a new story, but the 1954 season was a rough one on one of baseball's nicest guys. The scooter was supposed to be washed up way back in 1949, but it didn't work that way. 1955 may disprove what they said about Phil in 54. Navy Chief Al Spanger asks Phil if the comments bother him.
No, it doesn't bother me. I get a kick out of it because at least this way they know I'm around. You know, over the years I'd never cause any trouble or make any statements, and people just took me for granted. But this year, I don't know, not what with the new glasses and the theory that everybody thinks I'm too old and that they're going to see how I'm going to do it. It's a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to a good battle out there for that shortstop position.
Now, the glasses themselves, what do they do for you?
Well, they have sharpened up the picture quite a bit. By that, I mean, used to be a little hazy and a little blurry. I mean, not so that it would affect me too much, but I could notice it. And these glasses have sort of sharpened everything up. But I still have to get used to the outer rims. Whenever I look out, all I seem to see is rims. And they tell me that it takes constant wear, so I'm going to use them all spring. I've worn them about 6 days now, and I'm getting a little better feel of them.
They say that one of the things that makes a great ball player is peripheral or side vision.
Uh-huh.
So I guess it would hamper you a little bit.
Well, it does. I mean, I know I've always had pretty good peripheral vision, and of course I played a lot of basketball, and in that, you know, you have to watch your man and back in on the side of you. And in baseball, too, you've got to know if the second baseman's there or the third baseman or going back for fly ball. But as I said, that is what bothers me out of the side for the eyes. But I think I'm getting a little more used to it, and I talk to fellas like Eddie Joost and Dominic DiMaggio and Jim Constanti on our team, and they say that after a while you don't even know you got them on.
Well, they look just like regular glasses. Actually, they must be different.
Well, they are different. They're a lot heavier. They're shatterproof and unbreakable so that you can't get blinded or something. They will shatter, but they won't break. And they're tinted just a little bit, and they've got this frame that is a little heavier than the ordinary glass frame.
There's no protection, though. It seemed like jogging around, they come right off your ears.
Well, they put an extra thing that loops around and catches the bottom of your ear, and they stay on pretty good.
Could you put your finger on anything last year?
Not a darn thing. I don't know. I just lost my confidence early in the year and never got it back, and towards the end, I dreaded going up to home plate to hit. I was happy when he wouldn't play me. But I tell you one thing. I did experiment too much with different bats. Now, all the years I was having good years, I used the heavy bat, Johnny Mize's bat. And last year, Enos Slaughter came with the club, and he has real light bats. They weigh about 30, 31 ounces. And I started using them at the beginning of the year, and they were too light, and as a result, I was way out in front. And then when I did try to use the heavy bats again, I was sunk because I had lost the touch with the heavy bat.
Well, now, your bat now is what?
Well, now I'm back to 34-ounce bat. I was using a 30 and 31, which is very light.
Mm-hmm.
It makes you feel strong, but it's a false strength because you're round in front and you don't meet the ball squarely.
34-ounce, how long is your bat?
35 inches. But as I said, I'd like to get back to that Mize bat, which is 36 inches long and 36 ounces in weight.
Gee, that seems awful.
It seems big, but when you get a bat that long and that weight, it's balanced perfectly. Well, you get other bats that are maybe 34 inches and 32 ounces. They're not as well balanced as a long bat like Johnny Mize.
Well, could you do the things like bunt, hit and run with that other bat?
Oh, yes, definitely. Even better than with the small bat because you had so much more bat to play with. And as a result, you could hit the outside pitch, and if you wanted a bunt, you could just choke up and bunt the ball, and it had more wood, more hitting surface.
Well, actually, Phil, that's what made you as a ball player, was your ability to do those things, don't you believe?
Oh, yes. I mean, I was able to hit and run, hit in back of the runner and bunt, and hit the ball, pull the ball when I had it, when the third baseman was in. And
it seems to me that those things would still put a ball player in the major leagues today, even with the accent on power.
Yes, definitely. I mean, everybody likes to see the long ball and the home run, but you've got to get those men on base, too, and those are the kind of ball players they're looking for, the men to get on base so those long ball hitters can knock them in.
That's the Inside Track to Baseball with Phil Rizzuto. Feeling mighty low? You did if you were a Cleveland fan or a ball player long about October 3rd, 1954. At that time, it was doubly discouraging in Cleveland, for the football Browns weren't going well either, although the Paul Brown crew came out well at season's end. For the Cleveland ball player, it's apt to become a complex if people keep asking, what happened to the Indians? Sportcaster Mel Alberts talks to one man who did well for the Indians, slugger Victor Wirtz.
I think that, a lot of people talked about this club being down, you know, and everything because we lost a series last year like we did. But, gee, the morale is high, and we're looking forward to another season. I don't think we'll win 111 games, but I think we'll win the pennant.
Well, it's very unusual that you have to win 111 games to take that pennant. As I was saying to Al Rosen, the Yankees, with 103, ordinarily would win it. How many games do you figure you'll have to go this year to get it?
Well, I wouldn't be a bit surprised if we had to go over 100 again, because the Yankees are going to be tough, as they always have been. And, of course, we expect a little improvement in the lower part of the league, too, with Baltimore and Washington and Kansas City. We expect them to be tougher. So, of course, they're going to take the toll out in the Yankees, too, along with us. I figure about 100 wins we'll take it this year.
Well, one break the Indians have this year that the Giants might not have is that is the Giants are going to have seven clubs pointing at them, but it's going to be two clubs in the American League. They're going to have the other six clubs pointing at them. Even though the Yankees didn't win it, the conjecture of opinion seems to be that you got to beat the Yanks and the Indians this year.
That's the way it looks, Mal. And, of course, we always figure the Yankees are going to be tough because in the past they've proven they're going to be tough. And we have a good fight because I think the White Sox will be up there giving a pretty good account of themselves, too.
Well, the White Sox are always tough, especially when you have to play them at home.
That's right.
Vic, last question. Is there anybody that you've seen, somebody that we haven't heard a great deal about, that looks like they might break into this Cleveland lineup?
Well, I'll tell you, a fellow we have here, young left-handed pitcher Herb Score, you've read a lot about him. Oh, he looks great.
He won 22 games last year, I understand, and set some type of record on an earned run average basis. Isn't that correct?
That, and he also set a record, I think it was standing for 50 years, striking out 330 men in the association. That's a lot of men.
That's pretty fair country pitching. You think Herb might break into that starting assignment?
I wouldn't be a bit surprised, Mal, that he'll be number four pitcher.
Well, how much good pitching can the Cleveland Indians use with this pitching staff?
Boy, this staff is loaded. I've never seen so much talent in one camp in all my life, believe me.
Tell me something. Where in the world does a young rookie go to break into a starting lineup like these Cleveland Indians?
Well, I'm afraid that the position that I'm playing right now, Dale Mitchell and I are holding down first base, and I'm afraid that would be a good spot for a young fellow to start, but we're not encouraging anybody.
And that's the Inside Track to the Indians with Vic Wirtz. In the world of baseball, being young at heart isn't quite enough. You need the young physique to go with it. But if young bodies can win pennants, certainly the Tigers have them. And it's a novel experience for Bucky Harris. Harris, again back at the Detroit helm after terms in Washington, New York, San Diego, and Washington, hasn't been blessed with youth until his current engagement. Navy Chief Al Spanger talks it over with Harris, asking first about his relief corps.
Would you say that any pitcher you pick up can be a good reliever?
Well, no, that's a little bit of a specialty in itself, such as a good pinch hitter and a good relief pitcher, and of course they're both valuable. As of now, I haven't picked what I'd call a specialty.
Mm-hmm. Getting to the rest of the positions on the Detroit Ball Club, I think you've got the youngest team in the major leagues, haven't you?
I think someone has pointed that out, that it averages 25.1.
Mm-hmm.
There's some pretty good young ones, too. If they happen to improve a little this year and catch fire, there's no telling what can happen.
Well, the question that comes to my mind, with such a young team, are you still teaching them?
Oh, yes. You've got to pick a little flaw here and there and brush it up, just like you put polish on a pair of shoes to make it look better.
Do you think you're teaching major leaguers more now than you used to?
Well, you have not anymore, except that there are more youthful ones playing now, and as a result, they need a little bit more than the ones of years ago that played in the minor leagues several years and were pretty well set when they came up here.
How about the infield, Bucky?
Well, Thane, of course, if his knee is sound, and he is of the feeling that it will be the first baseman. Hatfield at second, Keene at short, and Boone at third. The outfield looks a little bit like it'll be Porter, Tuttle, and Kaline.
Porter's come on in great style.
He really is. He's what I would call a good prospect. Mm-hmm.
It seems to me also that that your bench is stronger this year.
Oh, a little bit, yes. You have fellows like Delsing and Bubba Phillips, who just returned from the service. Maybe we could stand an extra a reserve infielder.
And the catching staff, I think, is one of the best in the major leagues.
It's adequate. House and Wilson are very adequate. Of course, they're not a hitter like Barra, but who is, as far as that goes.
It seems to me that the difference between catchers would be in the hitting. Do you find that that's true?
Pretty much so, yes. Most any major league catcher is a good receiver and thrower, and the one with the big edge is the guy that can hit that ball the best.
Well, just two other things to get to. The strongest point on the Detroit Tigers team and the weakest.
Well, I guess the strength of the club is the fact that it's got good young ball players that should improve. Blended in, of course, with a little experience such as Thane and Boone. And right now, I can't see any outstanding weakness. I think we're pretty good.
That's the inside track to the Tigers with Bucky Harris. In the world of baseball, one of the state of North Carolina's gifts to the New York Giants is first baseman Whitey Lockman. Whitey has been one of Leo DeRocher's more dependable guys, even though his 54 season didn't show it. Lockman, known also as Old Cotton Top, has been around the league a half dozen seasons and knows the personnel and what to expect. So here is the Whitey Lockman outlook on the National League race.
I think the league will be overall a little better balanced than it was last year, and we look to have a real tough fight all the way, with particular trouble from Brooklyn, Milwaukee, and Cincinnati, probably in St. Louis.
It looks like a tough league in few words.
Certainly is, yes.
What kind of shape are you in this year, Whitey? How do you think things are going to go for yourself personally?
Well, I am in tip-top shape, Mal, physically, and I just certainly hope I can have a little better year at the plate than I did last year when I hit 250. So I've been taking quite a few extra batting practice sessions, and I think I might be able to hit a little more than that.
And that's the inside track to baseball with the Giants' Whitey Lockman, Detroit manager Bucky Harris, Cleveland's Vic Wertz, and the Yankees' Phil Rizzuto. Hilton Spanager was at the organ. This program was produced by Frank Seeley and Fred Hessler, who invites you now to join us again for the answers to leading sports questions with the men who know, those who make the sports headlines, for this is the Inside Track, an original production of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service. Thank you.